So today's scripture reading is in Luke chapter 5, 19 through 25. So I'll go ahead and read for us. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been laying on and went home, glorifying God. Oh, real quick, sorry, forgot my thing. Today we're very happy to have Pastor Ryan Gray to be among us and to speak to us. Pastor Gray, for the past 16 years, he has followed God's leading across the country and around the globe, working for nonprofit organizations and churches and missions. Currently, he is the leader for the YWAM Bay Area. He's pastoring at the Lift Community Church and the outreach trainer and coach for the Great Commission Association of Southern Baptist Churches. So, welcome, Pastor Gray. Very happy to have you.
Hello? 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 How are we? Am I coming out of the speakers, reaching out to grab you? Fantastic. My name is Ryan, and yes, I am. I actually originally came into the area working with Youth with a Mission. Who's ever heard of Youth with a Mission? YWAM, Lauren Cunningham, and my wife and I are a YWAM couple. If you know anything about YWAM, it stands for Young Women After Men. It's kind of why you join. It's where all the incredibly beautiful Christian ladies are. That was an awesome story, and my wife came all the way to Denver, is where I met her, my Bible school in Denver, and she went all the way over there. Her parents said that you can go anywhere you want, and she was currently in England, but she's from South Africa, and she opened, at the time, was before everything was online, and so we had this Go manual. It's like this manual of all the Youth with a Mission bases is that thick, and she flipped through it and said, "That one, Denver." And her parents went, "Denver?" What? You know, and all they knew about Denver was Rocky Mountain High and that it was high, really. So you hate the cold. Why are you going to go to Denver? And she just goes, "I need to go to Denver." And she met me and didn't think anything of me. Two reasons. First of all, I'm still a pretty big nerd, but at that time I was a really big nerd. And now I just am, my wife says, you know, "Shaved like that, dressed like that." "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." So she's excused me with some of that stuff. But my name is Ryan, and her older brother's name is Ryan. And if you meet my son, his name's Ryan. So there is a pattern there. Anyways, so just to kind of give you a little more background on me, I was raised, anybody here been to a little ski resort called Dodge Ridge? I worked at Dodge Ridge for 8 years. I was raised just below that in a little town called Twain Heart. Who here has been to Yosemite? If you have not been to Yosemite, go to Yosemite. It is one of the great wonders of the world, and the fact that we live so close is amazing. Do not cheat yourself out of that opportunity. On the other side of Yosemite is where I grew up. Stanislaus National Forest was my backyard, 950,000 square miles. Was where I could play. And, of course, at the time, it was just not cool. There's nothing to do. Oh, I hate this so much. This is no fun. And now, as an adult, I get up there every chance I get, walking in the middle of the trees, I sound and look just like my mom. Oh, the trees. Oh, the trees are so beautiful. Oh. And then I go, I sound and look just like my mom. You know, is anybody looking? And everybody's staring at me. So, anyways, it's just a blessing to be here. I'm a friend of Pastor Tim, and he is so awesome to me. When I first started pastoring, I pastor a mostly Korean congregation, and I honestly, when I took over a Korean congregation, didn't know anything about Korea. I knew there was a war there. I knew that my dad served there and my grandfather served in Korea, and I knew there was something called kimchi, but I really wasn't sure what that was. And guys like Pastor Tim took me under their wing and just made me one of their own, kind of, you know, rubbed me on the shoulder. It's going to be okay. It's okay. It helped me with some little intricacies and support. And so I'm blessed to be able to serve. And I'm praying that the Lord is able to connect as well and really just use me as a microphone. So I'm going to pray and ask him to do that right now. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. Holy Spirit, we ask you to do your work. You're God. you were promised to us by Jesus to teach us all things. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come into our hearts and teach us all things. And Jesus Christ, you are Lord. You are the Lord and Savior. You are the King of Kings. The King of Kings. But when you come in might and power, there's nothing that can stand against you. Because you have the victory. You have won. We just speak that out to remind ourselves, to put that in the forefront of our minds, that you, Jesus Christ, have won. You have the victory through the cross. Father God, I thank you that you are a perfect dad in heaven, that you are all-powerful, that you are terrible, that you are awesome, that you are terrifying, but you are so kind, you're so merciful, you're so full of grace. We just bless you. We worship you. We praise you. Ask you to speak what you want to speak. Help me, Lord God, just to let you do your work. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so Luke 5:19-25. This is something, the line there towards the end, when Jesus does not say he was amazed, Luke doesn't say that Jesus was amazed by his faith. He says he was amazed by their faith. Anybody else catch that besides me? And I have heard this my entire life, but I didn't see that one little word. It's different. Their faith. And I felt kind of an inspiration. One of my hobbies is writing. It's just something I enjoy to do on the side. And I'm obviously, as you've probably picked up by now, I'm a storyteller. And so I want to share this short story that I wrote. It's a fiction about what kind of like what it would have been like to get the lame man to this house. So bear with me, if you would. Up, Jim! I take it back. You're not light at all. What has your aunt been feeding you? Come on, Simon. We've been hauling Jim around the city looking for this guy all afternoon. Of course he's heavy now. Would you two knock it off back there? I'm trying to keep from bouncing Jim's head against the cobblestone while you're jabbering away like a couple of old men in the market. John, you've got the lightest part of Jim anyhow, so I don't want to hear any of your whining, especially when I feel like my shoulders and fingers are going to fall off, grunted Simon. Guys, can I just say anything? What? The three snapped together at the man that they were all carrying. I think we need to go that way. Jim pointed to a huge crowd pushing its way into a house which looked as if it might burst at any moment. What are they doing in there? Giving away free food covered in money? This is nuts, exclaimed Simon. This must be the whole town, Jim thought. Judah exhaled in disappointment. This is more than our town. This is the entire countryside. Ah, shoot, he groaned. Judah was a big fisherman with a booming voice and best friends with Jim. Okay, let's sit him down over here. All three lowered their mate Jim down on the walkway. They had made a makeshift stretcher with two ropes wrapped under a stiff mattress and harnessed it around the back of their necks. You know, Simon, all this extra rope you made me carry around keeps falling off my shoulders and onto the ground and tripping me up. It makes me want to punch you in the face, you cheapskate. Listen, you ninny, Waste not, want not. I ain't cutting this rope for one-time use. We see this guy inside. Jim gets healed. We all go home praising God, and I can keep my rope intact and save some coin. If it works, said Jim as he exhaled sadly. Simon dismissed Jim's comments. Jim, you're a good man, and you've always tried to please God. If anyone deserves healing, it's you. I don't know, Simon. All these years, I've had a lot of time to think. Walking just isn't as important as it once was. And I just know I've sinned way too much. Now I just want to... What? Snapped Judah. What do you want that's more important than walking? I don't know. I just don't know. Okay, Judah? But I want something more. Judah's eyes bulged and he stuck his finger into Jim's face. Listen here, you ungrateful, torturing miser. I didn't drag your sorry carcass all over the town looking for some super teacher if I didn't think it would result in your healing. Simon attempted to calm their frustrated friend, but the powerful Judah pushed him aside with ease, bent down, snatched up Judah by the collar with both hands, and lifted him in the air until they were nose to nose. We have been friends longer than I have known my own brothers, and I've been carrying you around longer than I've sailed on water. If this is our one chance, I will tear the legs off someone else and stick them on your body if necessary. But you, my brother, will walk today if it kills me. Judah dropped his paralyzed friend's back on the mat harder than usual. Ow! Jim winced as he hit the mat. Not necessary, brother. Jim was sarcastic. Well, today, you're just a brother and not a friend, the way you're getting all negative on me. Like a tax man looking for something I claimed wrong. You're always trying to find a reason why everything will go wrong for you. Judah shook his head. Nah, not today. No siree. You're going to see this teacher healer guy, whatever he is, and you'll see. Simon witnessed Judah's eyes become almost crazed, like a hungry dog with a bone. He was not letting this go. Simon spoke cautiously. Okay. Well, we can't get through the crowd unless we want to bust some heads in. Simon chuckled at his joke, but that faded quickly as Judah's icy stare cut his laughter off. Judah surveyed the scene with intensity, and the crowd was a mass of pastel colors pushing and shoving to get into a single home. It was a nice large home, but only half as big as needed for this mob. Then he said something, and saw something that just might work. Look, just over there, behind the house. You see it? Judah pointed. What, the stairs over there? What are you thinking? A crooked smile grew on Judah's face. Ha ha, idea. The men hoisted Jim up once more, and they ran around with their massive, away from the massive townspeople to the back of the large home. They snuck up the stairs onto the roof. Now what? Asked Simon. Now we cut through. What? The others exclaimed in unison, listen, we cut through and lower him in. We can use all this extra rope the old cheapskate Simon has us carrying around all day. It's like God planned for this moment. All or nothing. We are all in to see Jim prayed for or not. Wait, Jim cautioned. Think about this. They could put you in prison. Guys, I don't know who owns this house, but it's nice, and I'm sure they're important or they're at least well-connected. Think this through. Judah, panting heavily, wiped a bead of sweat from his forehead, then grinned. I have. The others nodded and smiled. You're worth the risk, Jim. But then, not finding any other way to bring him into the house, because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles. With his stretcher in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus, seeing their faith, he said, Friend, seeing their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven you. Is this a story about friends' faith bringing someone else to Jesus? We just celebrated Easter, right? And it was because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we know we get to spend an eternity in paradise. And then what? Then what? Then we share it. We share who He is. If He is who we think he is. If he is who he says he is, and if he is what the Bible says he is, we should have no choice but to share it. We should have no choice but to do whatever it takes to drag our friends to Jesus. It's not our job to make Christians. It's only our job to do two things. Preach the gospel, make disciples. What did Jesus say about building his church? He said, I'll do it. And he told Peter, you are now this rock, and upon you I will build my church. He said, I will build my church. But in the end of Mark, he said, go forth and preach the gospel to all creation. Isn't that crazy? Not just people, but all creation. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has restored the order of this earth in all sense of the word. Healing. We can speak into creation itself. We're worried about climate change. How many of us are praying against climate change and telling creation to be the way God made it to be? Salvation is the beginning. Salvation is not a ticket into heaven. It is a journey that begins when you meet Jesus. And part of that journey, one of the biggest parts of that journey, one of the most exciting parts of that journey, and one of the more fun parts of that journey, are bringing your friends to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. A lot of us have heard the Word, and we keep hearing the Word, and we keep hearing the Word, and we build up this faith and do nothing with it. And what happens? It's the same thing that happens when we build a dam. We dam up a river, we build it, but we don't allow enough outlet. And I was raised all around ponds and dams and rivers, and when they would go down a little bit and there wasn't water that could flow through, what do you think would happen to that lake and pond? It would get stinky, it would get disgusting. Eventually the fish would die. Then you couldn't go near it because of disease. It's bad. And the same thing happens to us when we do not allow our faith an outlet. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you know where I have found that joy? I have found that joy sitting down on a sidewalk, sitting down on a curb, taking the time to say hi to a homeless man that no one else wants to talk to. Now, super righteous, holy Ryan, do you know how long it took me to be able to do that? I'm 37. It took me about 35 and a half years. So, can you guys do that math? I'm 37, 35 and a half years. What am I looking at here? It was like 10 years. I've been doing that for 10 years, right? No? No? Come on, you guys are smart. Help me out here. How long is it? Yes, I'm looking at you. The good-looking guy with the hoodie. Sup? No, he doesn't have a hoodie. He was smart. He was avoiding me. You looked right at me. It's okay, man. It's all right. I'm sorry. Air high five. All right, cool. So I haven't been for a long time. I haven't been this guy that's rocking the world like I should. And again, it's not our job to make Christians. It's our job to share the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Love. That's it. That's all. That's all. It's bringing people to Jesus. Okay, and I'm going to show you where Jesus lives. Everybody take your finger and put it up in the air like this, please. There you go. Okay, and then you're going to go like this and point it here. There you go. That's where he lives. Wherever you go, Jesus is with you. And when you go to the places of darkness, you go to the places that are scary, that's when Jesus comes alive. That's when Jesus gets up and says, we are going to show the world the power of my Father. It becomes so awesome. And we don't think that he does that around here because we're surrounded by iPhones. We're surrounded by the best Wi-Fi in the world, the best technology companies in the world. And missions happens in Africa, the other side of Thailand, Vietnam, and the darkest, deepest parts of China and India. But I have something for you. He said, go to all the world. Do you think the Silicon Valley is a part of the world? Now, I know sometimes we question whether it really is a part of the world. Half of us think, these people cannot be from this planet. The other half of us might think, we are so far beyond. Whatever you might think, the truth is, we're just people. And the only thing that the technology and money does is distract us from the kingdom of God. Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than a camel to go through the eye of the needle. People are trying to figure that out metaphorically and historically or whatever for so long. But the truth is, it is what it is. The way he said it is exactly what he meant. He meant it's impossible. If you think you got it made, you cannot walk with Jesus. That's just how it is. If you're not desperate for Jesus Christ every day, you do not walk in the kingdom. I know this. I was raised in the church. I was a missionary for 3.5 years before I knew how to walk with Jesus. I kid you not. I was spending time in South Africa. I worked for a Roman Catholic nun working with sex workers in HIV-infected areas in Johannesburg, South Africa. I was a pastor for 2.5 years. I worked with the youth of the mission for 1.5 years. I was at Bible school, youth intern. But when I finally worked as a secular, nonprofit worker around people who did not know Jesus, after 2.5 years, I realized I hadn't prayed for anybody. I hadn't shared the gospel. I was a terrible Christian. I was not who God made me to be. I was not walking in my calling or my giftings. And I said, God, something is wrong. What is wrong with me? Now that question took me 6 months to get to. And that is the hardest and most important question that all of us need to get to. Jesus, what is wrong with me? Because there's nothing wrong with him. I'm going to tell you right now. And don't ask what's wrong with your church. It'll only slow you down. I made that mistake about 5 or 6 times. You need to start asking, if you are not sharing the gospel regularly, if you are not praying for people regularly, you need to start asking, where is my faith that would drag my friend through the city streets, cut a hole, even violating somebody else's property, so that I could give him a chance to be with Jesus? Because somebody gave you that chance. Do you understand that? You kids, you won't understand this for a while, but there has been somebody who's been praying for you. Probably your mom or your dad, an aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa. Somebody has spiritual holes in their knees. The reason I am here today is because my mom, my exhausted, tired mom, never stopped praying for me. And you know what the result was? That all of her kids know Jesus, not one of us. And I know this is a little blunt, but this is so special to us, and I want to encourage you parents with this as a side note. Not one of us had sex out of marriage before we were married. That is a result of prayer. Prayer is power. And it is fueled by love. You have the audience of God Almighty when you take the time to ask Him. You remember that parable Jesus said? He said, the woman goes to see the judge. And the judge says, oh, get out of here. I don't want to help you. And the woman comes back and the judge says, get out of here, I don't want to help you. And she keeps coming for 2 weeks or some number like that, and she won't quit. Eventually the judge says, fine, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you if you just never come back again. That was Jesus' whole parable. It's really, really simple. Keep asking God. Your friend won't come to Jesus. Keep praying. My wife's grandmother... prayed for her husband, strong Christian woman, for over 50 years. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior at age 82, 30 minutes before he went to be with him. 30 minutes. Now, Grandpa Baca, was not the man that you think, oh, this guy, you just think this guy was never going to come to Jesus. I loved him. I loved him to death. But man, he was stubborn and he just wouldn't do it. But in those last moments, I've seen it time and time again. God comes through. And you know, sometimes we ask, well, so why wouldn't God just do it himself? He's God. Why wouldn't he do it himself? you know why he doesn't do it himself? Do you know why he chose you? Do you know why he chose you to share the gospel with your friends, with your family? Because he loves you. You cannot make people do things if you love them. A part of love is free will. Without free will, there is no love. You think he likes to see people die without choosing him? Sentencing themselves to a life of eternity without him? Every single time it happens, it breaks his heart. After 2.5 years of living basically a secular life and doing my Sunday church stuff and realizing I don't do ministry because I really don't know how, I just know how to do it if somebody gives me money to do it, I began to ask God what to do. And he just popped a simple answer in my head. It just popped in my head. And I thought, well, that wasn't too hard. He said, pray. And the question, am I praying for my coworkers? Ask yourself that. Are you praying for your coworkers? Are you really praying for your coworkers? I'm not talking about on your knees, in your face, in the middle of your cubicle for 2 hours a day. I'm talking about 5 minutes will change their eternity. 10, it will grow to 10 after a month. And before you know it, it'll just be constantly on your mind. But you got to start somewhere. Just start with 5 minutes. Ask the Lord, who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to pray for? And he'll give you a few names. Stick with those names. Just obey him. These are prayers he will answer. I promise you. He's done it for me time and time and time again. He's done it for friends of mine. I have one friend who works in a financial firm. And God keeps blessing him. And as God continues to bless him, the firm, very large financial firm, I didn't ask his permission if I could share this, so I'm not going to give you the name at the moment, but they found that he had something that no one else had ever done. They had, this is a different story. One guy did the same thing, and he had no sick days. This guy just beat the quarterly profits, I think, 2 or 3 times in a row. He was top 5 in the country. So this is a very, very big, 30,000 employee kind of company. And he also was the youngest manager. He's also Korean, and his English wasn't very good. And he told me, he said, I shouldn't have been able to do any of this. So they sent this guy, this auditor from a different company, to come and figure out my secret. So he follows me around for a week. And he writes this half a page report back to my boss that says, I can't charge you for this week because after following this man around, I found that he does everything a good manager should do, but nothing special. The only thing different I could find is that, man, that guy prays a lot. And because of that, the company voted and put in a tenet of faith into their bylaws, allowing anyone to use their faith to help them to be a better employee. This man continues to not just be blessed prosperity-wise, but he has led to the Lord and been discipling more than 15 people over the last couple of years. He has his own little church running out of his office. This is happening all over the Silicon Valley. Do you know there's a church in one of the Google buildings? There's a church of over 150 people who meet every Thursday. They do worship. They pray together. I have seen and heard of people coming to Jesus. One of my friends that I was discipling for a while and teaching him how to turn his job into a mission field. He's a manager at Google. And he said that somebody he met came and spoke to him when he made manager. Said, how did you get there? What did you do? And so he said, oh, we can talk about it. And sat down. And he goes, you really want to know? Do you really want to know how I did it? I started putting all my faith in Jesus Christ. And I allowed him to help me. And she looked at him and goes, Jesus helps you with stuff like this? He goes, yeah! He cares about everything I do. I mean, sometimes it doesn't mean I'm going to succeed all the time, but he just opened the door to the gospel. After I asked the Lord to change my heart, I have five people in my office. One was already a Christian. And then I had four more. Long story short, I said, Lord, I don't want to leave this office. There's three people in particular who didn't know the gospel. I don't want to leave this office until they all know what the gospel is. Not what what Hollywood says or somebody else. And I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. And one day, have you ever done this where you're sitting there typing? And your colleague is next to you typing. And you guys kind of like half talk. Just like, oh yeah, the Niners. Oh my God. It's 49ers. Don't talk about football. Football does not exist. I hate football. You know, and you kind of like half talk to each other. So we're kind of doing that. And then all of a sudden, I'm just typing and I hear my friend Melan. She's from Taiwan. And she goes, so who do you think Jesus was? And I'm like, who? Yeah, I've been praying for this for like 9 months or something like that. It's like deer in the headlights. Jesus, God, Son, cross, he's dead, but alive. You know, thinking like, work, brain, work. I think I went through the history of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in just under 3.5 minutes. And I thought, oh man, I blew it. My friend Milan, she's going to go to hell. And it's all my fault because I couldn't like just share the gospel in a nice, you know. And this is a lot of people, they get into this, okay, so have your elevator speech ready, okay? You know, so you come off like a used car salesman. For only $4.95, I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ will come to your house, okay? Now, we can actually lease this, and your sin can actually drop off one bit at a time. I'm just like, seriously, an elevator speech, why is that going to work? Because not everybody needs to hear the same thing at the same time. Everybody's in a different place. No, what you need is the Holy Spirit, and guess what? You already have Him. You already have Him. You step out in faith, you let Him speak, you let Him talk through you, and boom! You'll say what needs to be said, and even if you mess up, your faith will allow that person to hear what God wants them to hear, and that's what happened with Melan. She hardly talked for the rest of the day. She just looked at me with the most odd expression, and just, till to this day, I can remember her saying, just looking at me going, I have never heard that before in my life. You know how awesome it is to share the gospel with somebody? It's the first time they've ever heard the gospel. It is the coolest feeling. I get so pumped up. Seriously, I live for it. I live for it. It's a battle. It is hard. The moments leading up to that, there are times when you're thinking, this cannot be God because this hurts too much. This is too bad. This is horrible. I can't do it. I can't do it, God. You didn't want me to do this. But the harder it is, and the more you push through, the more that you persevere, the more you're determined. First of all, that's love. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Right? Where does faith come from? It comes from perseverance. Read Philippians. Read James. It is hard, oftentimes. And it has to be something that you put into your life. It needs to be more important than your golf game. It needs to be more important than your music lessons. It needs to not only be more important than your work, be a part of your work, and be a part of your golf game, and be a part of your music lessons. It needs to be more important than your education. Parents, I want to challenge you with this. The legacy of education in this area is fantastic. But in the church, it's an idol. And this is when I get in trouble with Asian churches. And I'm just going to be blunt about it. Asian churches hate when I say this. But it's the truth. You put education in front of Jesus Christ because it's scary. My parents did the same thing, but they did it with work. It wasn't education. It was, you work hard. I was raised in a very... my folks are both Midwesterners, typical Caucasian redneck family. You work hard. No matter what. You don't sit back and wait. You work. You go. You earn God's love. You're doing the same thing to your kids by saying, college must be done. And it's getting so bad, I hear parents apologizing because their kids are going to San Jose State. I know it's funny, but it breaks my heart because these poor kids, Think about it. These poor kids, not everybody not only is ready for Stanford, not everybody, I mean, it can going to Stanford will destroy kids who shouldn't be there. It's not an end-all to end-all, meet-all to end-all. Remember the whole rich? The rich will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean rich people, quote-unquote wealthy people. I know a lot of wealthy people who are the most calm, awesome, faith-filled, beautiful, generous people in my life I've ever met. And man, they're crazy. It's hard, though. It is difficult. It is difficult to be that. I found it in my own life. The more the Lord has given me, the harder it is for me to let it go. We need to teach our kids to let go before we teach them to grab a brass ring that's going to ensnare them for the rest of their lives and take them 30 years to figure out. Parents, I beg you, I ask you, what is it, the legacy that you want to leave with your kids? Do you want to leave a legacy that's going to last for 50 years? Or do you want to teach them to store up their treasures in heaven, where moths do not destroy, rust does not destroy, thieves do not break in and steal? That's really the question. It's a hard decision, too, because it doesn't mean your kids doesn't go to college. It means that college is held open like this. It means maybe you allow your kids to take a gap year. You know the studies of kids who take gap years? Look into it. Kids who take gap years are far more successful, far more healthy, and they have a far better idea as to what God wants them to do with their lives. 1 year on the mission field, 1 year serving UNICEF, wherever. But whatever it is, parents, I urge you, teach your kids to walk in life like this, to allow the Lord control in order to be able to flow in this. Otherwise, the gospel will not be able to go from here to there. Because when we are holding on, saying, no, 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 I need to protect myself, that we don't have the faith to bust open somebody's roof, drag our friend all over town, that comes because you're crazy. That behavior happens because you said, there's healing over there, I'm going to go, that person is hurt, I'm going to pray for them. When is the last time you prayed for somebody to be healed? Isn't that a part of what we teach in the Bible? Raise your hand if you believe that Jesus still heals. Okay, I'm not the witness. God is a witness. You just raised your hand. That means the Lord wants all of you. He expects all of you to find someone who's sick, someone who's hurt, to pray for. Not so that their life will be fixed, but so that the glory, love, and power of Jesus Christ will be made known in their lives. It is an avenue for the gospel. This man is lowered into the house, and Jesus looks at him and says, oh, look at their faith. But he'll go straight through all the other problems, straight to his heart, and says, your sins are forgiven. What does it mean to sin? You guys remember this? Sin, we think sin is bad. Sin is smoking, right? Sin is smoking. Drinking, sin is drinking. Bad video games, that's sin. The movies, my mom and dad. See, all that stuff it can be sin or is kind of sin. It, you know, and it's don't watch movies your parents don't tell you to watch. And, you know, careful with video games. I'm still not quite sure about them. Of course, I'm also old. So, you know, take it for a grain of salt. Sin is missing the mark. Jesus is here. God is here. You go here. Sin is missing the mark. And fortunately, or unfortunately, depending on how we see it, Jesus oftentimes goes places that make us uncomfortable. And really, he goes places that terrify us. Terrify us. Oh, man. So, I'm going to go ahead and close with this story. I was I felt like I should be going to this conference out in Southern California. I felt like the Lord had encouraged me. And sometimes, if you just open, you just, Lord, what do you want me to do? What am I going to do? You know, maybe I've been encouraging my people at our church to do something like, instead of taking a family vacation, why don't you take a family missions trip? You know, and pray about it. Maybe the Lord says, or maybe the Lord says, don't go vacation here, go to vacation here, and you become friends with a different family, and you end up sharing the gospel with them and become friends, and through you, they come to Jesus. You know, there's lots of different things. Sometimes the Lord is like, no. I don't want you to go to Universal Studios Hollywood. Go to Disneyland. Like, that doesn't make sense. This has actually happened. A guy in church was worshiping and saying, Lord, what should I do? Where should I go? I'll go anywhere you want. I'll go anywhere you want. And then Disneyland. He's like, that's got to be the devil. Lord, where do you want me to go? Disneyland. Devil, I rebuke you in there. He's like, God's like, would you stop saying that to me? I'm God. You know, it's me. Go to Disneyland. He's like, oh. I think actually, he's like, okay, Lord, give me a sign. You know, he was like, give me a sign. Somebody walks up. He's like, I feel like the Lord told me to tell you something about, like, Disneyland. Does that make sense? He's like, I'm going to Disneyland. So he went there, and there was somebody there that God had him meet and pray for, and the guy was healed and came to Jesus. So I felt like the Lord told me, go to Southern California to this conference, and I'm going to go to this healing conference. And a long story short, I was doing push-ups at the gym, and I get up just in a squat, nothing fancy, and as I get up, my entire knee dislocates like this and goes sideways on me. I look down like I'm like, you know, you guys remember the old G.I. Joes and they had like the rubber bands? This is what is really scary when there's no pain, right? I felt nothing. And I just knew this is bad. This is going to be so bad. So I stab that up and my leg snapped back into place as I watched it. That was fantastic. I could still see it in my mind and it turns my stomach every time I think about it. And hobbled all the way to the car. And it was the next day, or 2 days later, I was supposed to go down to this conference. Now, the conference is a healing conference. So I'm thinking, what luck! Thank you, Jesus! I'm going to healing conference! And I just dislocated my knee and tore my MCL, shredded my MCL. It was like, you know, Kevin Durant, he did it after that. I'm a trendsetter. So, you know, you don't know who Kevin Durant is, he plays for the Warriors. Anyways, so I end up, you know, gritting my teeth and doing it. Go all the way down there. And I go to this conference. And it was kind of cool because when I got there, I could barely put any weight on it. And by the time I got through the parking lot, I could walk on it. But it was still bad. It was really bad. So the Lord healed it to a point where I was a lot more comfortable. And then, man, I had so many people praying for me. I was so covered in prayer. Man, the devil couldn't get in with a legion of demons if they had all the firepower of the U.S. military. There is no ways I had so much prayer on me. It was crazy. But my knee is still not healed. Well, the Lord also told me to stay at this very specific house. Right? It's that online Airbnb. Anybody used Airbnb? It's Airbnb. And the Lord said, use this one. I'm like, oh, okay. Looks nice. Nice garden. So I walk in the door, and the guy's really nice, really sweet Chinese gentleman who helps me out. And I go through the door, and as I walk in, I notice a statue about 4 feet tall of Buddha right there. And I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. And I hear this chanting. I'm like, oh, chanting, that's nice. It's kind of creepy, but okay. I look over, and there's incense. and a recording chanting of just going and ancestral pictures and as it turns out the bed I'm staying in is a ceremonial a Buddhist ceremonial marriage bed, one of only two in the whole world that's been consecrated by monks for many hundreds of years, and I'm walking in there and I don't want to freak anybody out. You don't have to be scared of this because Jesus has all the victory and you know, it's all about love versus fear. But I walked in, I was like, yeah, there's definitely some demons in this house. There is some bad spirits here. So, you know, and in those circumstances, I just pray against it. And the interesting thing is a lot of times in those circumstances in the past, I've had to do some battling and praying in the spirit and all this kind of stuff. But this time, I just felt peace. I just felt, Lord, you told me to be here, so I'm going to be fine. We're just going to see what happens. And I prayed over the place. I said, anything not of God in this house, you're going to wait outside till I am gone in the name of Jesus Christ. When I'm here, you are not here. And I felt fine. I absolutely felt fine. But as it turns out, the man who owned the house was a Shaolin monk. Anybody know about Shaolin monks? Martial arts masters Buddhist monks, very, very deep. So there's people who don't know Jesus. You know, I always think about, you know, we have kind of agnostic atheists, a lot of that here in this Silicon Valley. And then people who walk towards Jesus, people who kind of drift away from Jesus, and then people who run away from Jesus to different spirits. And you put him in that camp, in that category. And the interesting thing is, the God had already been setting this guy up. It was a horrible situation, though, because even though he'd been serving Buddha for so long, the spirits had taken his wife. Tragic circumstances. And taken his son. Just horrible, horrible death. And as I'm leaving, I'm going to leave this conference, and there's nothing great that happened at this conference. To be honest, I mean, it was good. I enjoyed it, but there was nothing fantastic. And I'm leaving, and there's a couple there that the Lord had introduced me to, and I had been working with them because they were a new couple, and I was new Christians, as well as exploring whether or not the Lord wanted them to be together. And I ended up doing impromptu premarital counseling and teaching them about a bunch of different stuff, and discipling them every night for 2 hours, which wasn't something I wanted to do on this bad knee, but it was what the Lord wanted me to do, so I did it. And I'm going to leave, and they said, "Oh, Ryan, before you go, oh, come here. And I called over the owner of the house, the Shaolin monk. And those of you who don't know, he's not, you know, dressed in orange or anything like that. He wears normal clothes. And he comes over and he says, "Oh, can we pray for his daughter?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, sure. What's wrong with his daughter?" And she said, "Well, she's working with UNICEF in Mali. And she has caught dengue fever." And if anybody knows about dengue fever, it can be it's a 50-50 death sentence. And she had been running 105 temperature for several days, and that's pretty much the sign that you're not going to recover any more than a couple days, you know, 2-3 days, and you start going into coma territory, and then brain damage, and then it's just over. So he was scrambling to see if he should, you know, trying to get a visa into Mali to be there with her as she passed. And I had no idea about this. I just went, "Okay, let's pray. You know, can we pray?" And he was just a father who's desperate. He was just a dad who's just desperate for his daughter. He'd already lost his son. He'd already lost his wife. And he loved him so much. You know, sometimes we don't think that people who worship other gods or people who don't believe or think the way we believe or think don't love the way we do, and sometimes they can love even more. And they're so desperate. So desperate for Jesus. Desperate for anything that would just answer. And so we just sat right there. My car's packed. We're in the middle of his driveway. I'm leaning on my crutches. My knee up. Still not healed. Gonna pray that God would heal a girl halfway across the world, even though he wouldn't heal my knee. Okay, whatever. And we prayed, and the couple were like, "Oh, thanks so much. We really felt like there was a lot of authority there." And he was very grateful and thank you, and told me to please come and stay with them again if I was down there. And I blessed him, and I left. And the next day, I got a text from the lady that was praying with us. And she said at that very hour that we prayed, sometime in that same hour, her fever broke. And she was healed like that. You can do cool stuff for Jesus. And you can change somebody's universe. All you have to do is be crazy. Like those four guys were carrying their friend all through town. And saying, "We're not going to quit until we get to Jesus." You stand with me. I just want us all to have an opportunity to respond in your own heart. Because some people have a gift where they want to do big altar calls, and that's actually not my gifting. My gifting is to send you back to Him. Because I found that sometimes we underestimate and forget that most of our time as Christians is spent alone in our own heads. So go ahead and close your eyes. And I want you to think to yourself right now, Jesus, reveal my heart. Keep your eyes closed as I tell you this last thing. So I began work down here in the Silicon Valley. I began to realize that although I was praying for people to come to Jesus and I'd share the gospel a few times, I still didn't really care that people were dying and going to hell. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. I had so many friends and family who didn't know Jesus. I didn't even think about it. I thought, Lord, I don't know what to do. So I prayed the only thing that I could pray. And I'm going to tell you about the same thing and encourage you to pray the same thing. And this is what I prayed every day for 6 months. I only think I prayed it once or twice for 30 seconds to 60 to a minute. Every day for 6 months. Change my heart. Make my heart break the way your heart breaks for the lost. Change my heart, Jesus. Make my heart break the way your heart breaks for the lost. Change my heart, Jesus. Make my heart break the way your heart breaks for the lost. After 6 months, I was driving down here because I was doing work down here, but I was still living in Pleasanton. And so I was commuting down, and I was praying that, and the Lord just touched my heart with a pinprick of His and the feeling of how He feels. And my eyes welled up so quickly, just tear ducts just open, and it was so painful. It was so much anguish. It hurt so much. God, stop. I can't take this. I cannot handle this kind of pain. I'll never forget that. I need to do what I can to make sure that people know the real story of Jesus. And I beg you, I ask you, I encourage you, I exhort you, and I hope that I've inspired you, that you too will need to also share and give God a chance to change your heart, to guide you onto a greater, more awesome and complete journey. Jesus, bless this church. Bless this word. And anything I said that is not of you, remove it from our minds. Holy Spirit, solidify only the words that you want every person in this room individually to remember, to know, and to hear. In the name of Jesus Christ, by your authority, because you're God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Why don't you stay standing, and we'll go through to some responsive prayer.
Please join me in prayer of the people. O healer, wounded one, we kneel before you.
Reach out and put your hand on us. Bind up our terrible wounds.
Sense us, scarred and rough. God of life, God of hope, God of all. Live us on earth. Then send us forth into the world.
Amen. Love as you love.
Amen.